test podcast A. My stogie, Mr. Goji.
Boop. Yeah, with Don Gonzalez and
Mark Connolly.
All right, so we're going to start off today talking about how the podcast came to be. So I guess we should talk about, since the podcast is called My Stogie, Mr. Goji, let's, when we talk about what those two things are and how the idea of the podcast came to be. So,
right.
When you think of Mr. Goji, what do you think of?
I think of Mr. Goji as the permanent phase after receiving the sacraments. That time where somebody who has become a Catholic or was raised Catholic or whatever is pursuing ever greater understanding of the mysteries involved in the faith. And that's an ongoing thing and doesn't really ever end, or hopefully doesn't ever end.
Okay. So I was thinking that, you know, I can remember the first time I ever even heard the word was in the context of RCIA.
Right.
And so from a technical standpoint, Mr. Goji, in some people's mind, is the final stage of the RCIA process. After people have gone through the sacrament of what, either being confirmed or receiving First Communion or...
Or the trifecta.
Or the trifecta of, of being baptized and confirmed and receiving First Communion. And I know that my experience with Mr. Goji at the RCIA level is that people don't know what to do with it. That's when we start losing people.
Right. I think I told you about Nathan, my son-in-law, after he was received into the church. I saw him about a week later, and I said, "So, how do you like being Catholic?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I said, "So you're a little let down?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, because, you know, you've gone through this whole thing, and you spent a year or whatever going to classes, asking questions, learning more about the faith. And then you have this big, giant event at the Easter Vigil. And then you wake up the next day, and you're still you, right?" And he said, "Yeah."
Yeah, you know, that makes me think that there's... Well, the way the RCIA process is set up, and I don't know enough about the rite itself to know if that's the way it's... Well, I know there's some things that they're supposed to teach, and there, well, there are certain parts of the rite. But the whole classroom model, I think, lends itself to that letdown, because it's like going to the side. Easter Vigil is like graduation day.
Right.
And yeah. So...
I think you nailed it there, because it is, since it's set up as a classroom, what do you do when you graduate from high school? You leave, and you go do something completely different. And I think people leave high school and are going, "Well, now what do I do?" They're not really ready to be parents, really hold a job, any of that. And there's not really, unless you go on to college, there's not really anything that is set up to help someone through that transition. So, with the RCIA people, of course, you tell the kids or the parents to come back, and they come back 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, some of them don't come back at all.
Yeah, and then after those 1 or 2 weeks, it just sort of stops. And I think at some level, I hate to say it this way, but at some level, I think kind of everybody's sort of okay with that, because they don't really have a curriculum for after the sacraments.
So I think if you really, for me at least, I think the idea of Mr. Goji is that if you get everyone, not just people who are neophytes or brand new Catholics, to buy into the idea that learning the faith, living the faith, is an ongoing process, that we're never going to know it all, and so consequently we need to continue working on learning it so that we can live it in our regular lives. And so, you know, my take on Mr. Goji is learning how to live the sacramental life. And what I've come to believe is that that's not just living the sacramental life on Sunday and holy days of obligation, but through the course of our everyday lives, you know, like when we go to work or go to school or interact with our friends and family, that that's also part of the notion of that. So my thought is that this podcast will help people better understand what it means to be a Catholic and how to live that out daily in their interactions with everyday people. And I think that ultimately that fits into this whole notion that came out of Vatican II of the universal call to holiness. I mean, I think they're really kind of tied together. This, how can you answer the call to being holy if you don't know what it means to be holy, if you don't know what it means to be sacramental, if you don't know what it means to be Catholic? And so if we can do a tiny little bit to help people learn how to do that, I think that's what this is about.
I think the thing that I've learned in basically getting together with you on a fairly regular basis in the stogie part of my stogie mystagogy is that it's difficult to do that all by yourself. And it's very important to have people that you can talk with, that you can be real with about your faith without everybody feeling kind of weird about it. Because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, people didn't sit around and talk about religion.
Right, right. And
it wasn't considered to be necessarily the kind of thing guys talk about in particular. And I can't speak for women, but I don't get the impression that in general, you know, people, women just sit around and talk about Jesus unless they're in some kind of a specific club. For us, as we are trying to pursue our understanding of who we are in God's plan, we just started hanging out, smoking cigars and talking, because smoking cigars lends itself to talking.
Right.
You got that cigar in your hand, and when you don't know what to say, you can stop and puff on it thoughtfully while you're gathering your thoughts. Or you can stab it at the person and go, add another thing, you know, I think you're wrong about that. So it just lends itself to that sort of camaraderie, but it also, you know, the thing about a cigar is it's about a 45-minute event. So you're going to sit in one place and you're not going to be playing basketball, you're not, you know, watching TV or anything like that. You just got 45 minutes or so to sit and talk to somebody. And through that, A, we developed a really strong friendship, and B, I think we've been able to help each other grow in our faith as we discuss current events, as we discuss whatever happened at church Sunday, as we talk about things that are happening in our families. That's all where you start to figure out how your day-to-day life fits in with being a Catholic, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's kind of interesting that both of us on our own separate paths were kind of, you know, attracted to the faith kind of in an intellectual way, that we're both kind of self-taught. But then that us becoming friends gave us an opportunity to have someone to bounce ideas off of and to talk about things and question things and dig deeper into things that, you know, that I found myself for the longest time not having anybody to talk to about that sort of thing. Right. And then when I met you, then I had somebody I could talk to about stuff like that. And then, you know, I think the couple of times that we've gotten together with other guys, they seem to really think it's a cool thing. And yeah. I'll talk to people at work and they're like, really? You get together and talk about stuff like that? Or when we've done the thing with books, or, right. you know, when we go into areas of philosophy, they're like, you really get together and do that? And
I'm talk like, about philosophy?
Yeah.
We talked about philosophy.
Yeah, we do, you know, and the TV's not on and we're not watching a game and
yeah.
stuff like that. And I, you know, I think that's part of it. And so the notion of the podcast being called, you know, My Stogie Mystagogy, I think reflects both sides of that, that the this kind of organic idea that mystagogy fits in with the everyday life, and the everyday life being represented by the idea that, you know, you and I got together, smoked cigars, you know, drank good rum or scotch or whatever, and had conversations that, you know, weren't just about sports or, you know, whatever else guys talk about normally.
Well, in our case, it literally goes from the sublime to the ridiculous and back again. Well, somehow it always comes back.
Well, yeah, you know, the time that we got together with the guys for the Holy Smoke at Your House.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing when we advertised it at Joe Catholic was that people were going to, that the guys were just going to get together, hang out, have time of fellowship, smoke cigars, you know, eat some food, and just kind of hang out. And, you know, we had, you know, some conversations about, you know, a little bit of sports and a little bit of pop culture stuff. But inevitably, as we got closer to the end of the night, those conversations turned to deeper topics.
Right.
And I don't remember that we introduced those topics. I think people, no. other guys did. And, you know, those conversations ran deep into the night. We left until after midnight.
Right.
And I think that demonstrates that, that guys, in particular, have a hunger for this sort of thing, and that they're not encountering it among their normal friends. Maybe they're afraid to bring up the topic, that they, you know, get made fun of or looked right. down upon, or that's not a manly thing, or whatever the case may be. And I think that this may be a safe way of introducing the idea to guys that it's okay to talk about these sort of things. That you know, I think of myself as a normal guy. I think of you as a normal guy. Consider and have these type of discussions, and hopefully at the end of the day, we're better men for it.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to point out about the whole hanging out, smoking cigars, and all that is the fact that we are ritual creatures. And if you don't believe that, then just go stand as an observer and watch any tailgate party at any football game and tell me that there's not ritual. You'll see people in their ritual clothing, and they'll be eating their ritual foods and drinking their ritual drinks and saying their ritual things. And we're made that way to enjoy that kind of ritual. And so, you know, I was telling somebody, when I meet with you, generally we drink rum. When I meet with Steve, it's generally whatever rye whiskey he brings over. When I meet with Gary likes scotch. And so that's kind of the ritual. If it's rum, it must be Dom night, you know. But the whole lighting a cigar and getting it started and having the talk, those introduce a rhythm into our lives that I think is healthy. And I think that understanding of that rhythm is what ritual is all about. That's why the church has the liturgical seasons. There's a rhythm there. It's how we're made. And I think that tapping into that helps us tap into that mystery as we continue to grow.
This may be a little bit off the subject. Do you find that when you meet with you mentioned me and Gary and Steve, the topic similar?
Yes. Yeah. And that's interesting because Steve is, I don't know what you call him. He's Christian. I hesitate to say non-denominational. I think he's attended different churches. He's very serious. He is a very serious Bible scholar on his own right, essentially self-taught. But Steve has an honesty that he adheres to, and if he sees something in the scripture that he didn't notice before, he acknowledges it, and so he's way interested in what's the truth. Gary is a guy who he told me once he'd been baptized about 6 or 7 times.
Sounds like Stacy.
Yeah, so he'd been all kinds of different places, and Gary's the one who actually introduced the whole book club idea to me. He wanted to read a book and talk about it. And let's face it, if you're going to start talking about things that matter and you're going to start going to the root, you either go to God some way, or you decide you're an atheist and that it doesn't, you know, in some way it's all just a decision you make. Since neither one of us, none of my friends are atheists, when you really are trying to probe down and go, what makes people do the things they do? Why is society the way it is? What makes people do good things? What makes people do bad things? What matters? You cannot avoid those kinds of final topics because, I mean, you know, the first and final causes. I mean, God is the is our end. So they go that way. They don't always go in the same direction. They don't always go in the same order. But we ultimately will have some kind of conversation at some point about God, because that's what it's all about. You know, I think Chesterton said, you know, people say you shouldn't talk about religion or politics. He goes, what else is there to talk about? I mean, really, we could talk about Khloe Kardashian, I guess, you know, but why ruin a good cigar?
So I think that's a line in the sand. I don't think you're going to hear those type of discussions here about the Kardashians. Or Kardashians, always get them messed up with the Deep Space Nine characters.
The Spoonheads.
Yeah. But, you know, to kind of stretch a segue, you were talking about final things and to kind of bring this to an end. I think we can talk a little bit about some of the things that people can expect to hear that I think happen naturally when we have our get-togethers with smoking cigars, and that said, I think we have a tendency to incorporate pop culture, you know. I'm a little bit of a comic book nerd, and we both like books and movies, and those have a tendency to kind of seep into our conversation, so I kind of envision that that's going to happen from time to time. Your final thoughts about some of the things that you think we'll talk about moving forward, besides obviously the, you know, the sacramental stuff and catechesis and that sort of thing.
Well, I think we will talk about politics. I think we will at different times end up talking about, you know, what did Pope Francis say today? Because that seems to be a favorite topic. You know, we may talk about some personal stuff, you know. My dad's turning 80. You know, I don't know how much longer I'll have him. My daughter's got 4 kids. She may have a 5th one, you know. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if something happens that we end up talking about. It could be good or bad. And we'll try to figure out some way to deal with it. And I think that... sometimes we'll try to address what we perceive to be a misunderstanding out there.
Okay, particularly something that comes up in the news or something. Yeah. You know, like, you and I both have had a number of conversations about, normally it's resulted because of something that Pope Francis had said, but not always. That when the media gets you the real nice headline about Catholics doing this or Catholics doing that.
Right.
So, all right. So, weekly? I think weekly?
Yeah.
So, well, our hope is to post a podcast once a week. Some probably a little bit more... what's the word I'm looking for?
Serious than others?
Some more serious than others. Some a little... more unplugged than others, I guess, is the word I was looking for. That not as edited and polished as others, but I think that's okay because life is unplugged and not polished. So, eventually, we have some sort of catchphrase that we'll leave you with. But for now, you want to say "God bless you" in Latin, or
I don't know how to say God bless you.
Well, God bless you in Latin when we learn how to say that. So.
Right.
Where's this document?
So when you're all done, you would say over and out.
No.
Right? No?
You would just say out.
Oh, okay.